But they're addressing their words to mere human ears rather than to God. And in so doing, they're not praying at all. They're just playing around. It's no good. And if the hypocrite desires to pray for an audience of people, they can certainly impress them with their fine words that they choose and the manner of speaking. But again, their reward only goes as far as their audience. And if the temptation of public prayer proves too much, Jesus is telling his disciples here that it would be better for the disciple to forego this public activity and instead go to the innermost room in a house where only the only possible audience for them is God himself, the Father who sees in secret. And the reward for authentic prayer is the reward for authentic prayer is the reward that the Father who sees in secret can bring. And you may notice that this section is quite a bit longer than the other two sections on almsgiving and on fasting. Rather than just one action to avoid, there's actually two here. So not only are the kingdom citizens not to behave like the hypocrite or perhaps the religious leaders of the day, they're also not to engage in prayer like a Gentile. And here the issue is not with the person putting on righteousness like a costume, like the play actors. Rather, it's with a false understanding of how prayer relates to the one praying and to the God who hears. According to Jesus, the Gentiles imagine that they'll be heard for their many words. They heap up words upon words upon words, hoping to provoke God to some sort of action. Their practice of prayer makes clear that they have a completely skewed view of their relationship with the one to whom they are praying. And the citizen of Jesus' kingdom can pray simply, clearly, confidently, and authentically, because they know that they share a special relationship to the Father, the one who hears in secret. In fact, as Jesus makes clear, this Father already knows the things that you need before you even ask him. So there's no need to heap up unnecessary phrase after unnecessary phrase. Now, I wish I had time to go on an in-depth journey through the Lord's Prayer. And perhaps we're going to have that opportunity in a later sermon or maybe one of our Wednesday nights. We can come back and exposit that in great detail. But for today, we're just going to leave it at this little bit higher level. And we move to our last section, which is fasting. The final pillar of righteousness that Jesus addresses is fasting. And fasting was conducted at both the individual and the corporate level in Israel. Interestingly enough, when we think of fasting, do we primarily think of it as a corporate or an individual act? Primarily individual. In the life of Israel, it was the opposite. It was primarily a corporate act. Most often, the fasts were corporate and occurred either on the Day of Atonement, the Jewish New Year, anniversaries of long-remembered tragedies from Jewish history, and times of national crisis. And the individual fast happened only rarely on occasion. But just like the previous two pillars, Jesus' words assume that his kingdom citizens would continue to engage in fasting. That begs the question, what kind of fasting would kingdom citizens continue to engage in? Well, there's two answers that I think make the most sense. During Jesus' earthly ministry, fasting would continue when celebrating the Day of Atonement. Because the Day of Atonement celebrated this idea of being made right with God, again, through sacrifice. Notice I've said that this was during Jesus' earthly ministry, because everything shifted and changed when Jesus became the once-for-all sacrifice, replacing the old sacrificial system with his pure, true sacrifice. So following his ascension, kingdom citizens ought to fast to express their deep desire for his return. a sorrow that we still got to be here. And we're not with him, and he is not yet with us in that fullest sense of presence. So this is where fasting still fits into our existence today. But again, in the realm of fasting, we have this idea of an action and an attitude to avoid. And the hypocrites, they're back at it again. These actors that they were, loved to wear sorrow as a costume. They would walk around with faces downcast that didn't have any basis in any true feeling or reality in their lives. They wore ashes of mourning to signal to others that they were truly pious and were even able to be better at being sad than other people who were watching. Now, you think you're sad? Wait till you hear this. Right? And again, their choice in audience limits the extent of their reward. The praise and public commendation for their false piety limits the scope of the reward for their good works. And rather than walking around with signs of the fast, ashes on the face, unkempt hair, perhaps even sackcloth for clothing, Jesus' encouragement is to forsake these kinds of public expressions. The fast expressed in devotion to the Father is better done in secret than if it is conducted to receive the praise of others. And again, the choices that you make in the audience for your righteousness has everything to do with the reward that you are eligible for. Now, with each of these examples, please keep in mind that the warning is to keep a close watch on the motivations of the heart. This does not mean that you can't give or pray or fast publicly. That's not what this is after. But what it means is that when you are tempted to put on a show through your giving or praying or fasting, you're no better than the play actors who are putting on a pretend righteousness that brings no benefit with your Father in heaven. Jesus' teachings in this passage demand a heart check. And there are two pathways before you, right? There's the path of the hypocrite with the false righteousness of public perception. Then there's the way of the kingdom citizen who pursues true righteousness, a righteousness that will bring honor and glory to the Father who is in heaven. Take care that you are not attempting to deceive others, or deceive yourself by your acts of righteousness that come from the wrong motivations. So a couple questions for you. Have you considered your motivations for giving, praying, and fasting? Have you considered those motivations? How about the other acts of righteousness that we practice? Singing, attending, counseling, speaking, loving? Any of these we can place at the prime position of demonstrating our righteousness before others. And they are good things, every one of them. However, if you are living in such a way that you are doing these things primarily for an audience of your peers, be warned. The congratulations that you receive is the extent of what you can expect. I can't see the intent of your heart, right? I can't see it. Neither can anyone else in this room. But your Father who is in secret is able to see and to perceive your motives. So are you pursuing a true righteousness, or are you pretending? That's the question before us today. Are you settling for seeming to be righteous rather than being righteous? But how can you pursue true righteousness, right? And I want you to consider three things about kingdom citizens pursuing true righteousness. So citizens of the kingdom pursue true righteousness because first they have seen their own hearts exposed and transformed by righteousness. That's the first step. You exchange your filthy rags, your unrighteousness, for the righteousness that Jesus provides. And that's the first and most critical step in the operation here. Second, kingdom citizens pursue true righteousness because they have trusted in a Father who is patient, who sees, who knows, and who loves. If you don't format your understanding of the Father in a way that is true, you could get caught up exchanging the audience that you shouldn't have for the one that you ought to have. And number three, you pursue true righteousness because you've seen true righteousness in Jesus. So not only has he effected a change in you, but he has demonstrated his righteousness through his life, his death, and his resurrection. And even in what he is doing right now as we anticipate his return.